This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Ausperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
All right, joining me now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD, very, very excited to have him. Not only is he a fellow Terp, he's a Fox News contributor, and he just got a huge endorsement today on his brand new book, The Greatest Comeback Ever, Inside Trump's Big, Beautiful Campaign, Unburdened by What Has Been. He's Joe Concha. Joe, how you doing, man?
It's been a long non-weekend, my friend, no question, but fear the turtle, and good to be on with a fellow Terp who, when I say VU, Bentley, Santa Fe, knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, except, you know, I took my son to the White House on Monday for the Eagles visit last week, and Sunday we drove through College Park, and I was going to take him to Bentley's, but they're closed on Sundays. I don't know what that's about, but, the whole town has changed. It's very, very posh, very she, very different from when we were there.
No more Cluck You Chicken, too, which is a big disappointment. But the 90s will only be once, and that's right.
That's true. So you got a big endorsement from the president himself today about your new book. Congrats. It's huge.
I didn't see it coming, but sure enough, he was watching Fox, apparently, when I was on, and decided to go to Truth Social and say, you know, there's a great book, you got to read it. And he gave me an interview for the book. So that was, you know, I've met him before. I was at Mar-a-Lago for New Year's Eve. I was backstage with him in Wildwood for that rally. A lot of people from Philly were there, certainly. And so it wasn't totally surprising that I got that endorsement, but at the same time, good to hear that the president is embracing the book, because it is the most accurate account of the 2024 election. That's certainly for sure, because I was backstage in Wildwood, backstage at the RNC. I was at Madison Square Garden for that big rally as well. I was at the debate in Atlanta. Obviously, I spoke to the president, spoke to his people, and you're going to learn a lot of things in this book, Rich, that you haven't heard before. That I do know.
So, Joe, how did you get such access to the president, to the campaign, to the top people around him?
I think they watch Fox, to be honest with you, Rich, and I'm on a lot. As you know, they keep me busy. And I just think they see me as, and I'm kind of uncomfortable talking about myself, but from what I've been told about myself, that I try to be a straight shooter. I'm a Jersey guy. I'm authentic. And I've criticized Trump in the past as well. So it's not like I'm a sycophant that's just going to do and say everything they want. So I guess I earn some level of respect by being objective and just telling it like it is. And, you ask and you shall receive. And sure enough, I asked to go to the Wildwood rally, and that was interesting because they said, well, we'll provide transportation. I'm like, awesome. I'll get an Uber. My Acura has like 260,000 miles on it. I'm not getting to Wildwood 2.5 hours in that thing. That's for sure. And then sure enough, they write me an email saying, okay, so you're going to meet the Trump plane on the tarmac at LaGuardia Airport, and we're going to fly down Atlantic City, and then you'll go in the motorcade from there. I'm like, oh, that transportation. So that was interesting. And you get in the plane, Rich, and I hadn't really eaten breakfast. I had like a half a yogurt. And by this point, it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, boy, what are they going to serve? Like, you think they'll have steak? It's a Trump plane. I mean, this is going to be high class, right? And sure enough, fast food comes out, burger, tater tots, yeah. French yeah. fries, Diet Coke. So I have pictures of it, which is interesting. And then, you know, I got, obviously met the Trump, Mr. Trump on the plane as well. We land, we get in the motorcade. And as we're driving down Garden State Parkway, as you know, it gets smaller as you go more south because it's not as populated. So it's only two lanes. They close off one lane and then the motorcade is in the other. And then sure enough, I look to my left and these two old ladies, they look like they're out of the Golden Girls, like in a Toyota Tercel. They're looking over at us like, where are we? What's going on? I'm like, how did they get here? Right? Because they can just pull right up to the president's, you know, car and God knows what. Obviously, they're not going to do that. But how did they penetrate the motorcade? It was just the most bizarre thing. And that was a preview of things to come because we get to Wildwood. The town officials say there are 100,000 people there. And the rides are still operating above the stage where Trump is speaking. Planes, the small ones that you see at the Jersey Shore, are still able to fly over the stage. And the boardwalk was completely open. I had to believe the 100,000 people that were on the beach that day, you know, they couldn't have all gone through metal detectors. So it didn't feel very secure. And I wrote that in my notes and I even texted that to my wife. I'm like, this does not feel the way it should for a presidential candidate who is under threat more than anybody in the world. And then sure enough, that was a preview for what happened in Butler nearly 2 months later, where they didn't secure the one building they had to. They let a 20-year-old kid outflank them, hide a high-powered rifle next to that building, where if the president doesn't turn his head in such a manner at just the right time, we're having a different conversation right now. And then the second assassination, same thing, Rich. Trump International, I walked it last week. I was doing a speech there. I went to the sixth hole where the sniper's nest was for Ryan Ruth, the second assassin. And if anybody walked the perimeter, and remember, he was there for 12 hours, they would have seen this guy pretty quickly. Yeah. So no one walked the perimeter. They let Trump on stage in Butler when they knew there was a threat. It's so many questions here, and we asked them in the book. That's certainly for sure.
Joe Concha is with me. His new book is out right now, endorsed by President Trump. So this campaign seemed to me, at least, a whole lot more disciplined than the previous campaigns. And since you got all this access and you were watching this and you wrote about it, do you credit Susie Wiles with that, the now White House chief of staff who was running the campaign?
Absolutely, Rich. And Chris Lacivita as well, who's a brilliant strategist, has been doing this for a long time. And the thing is, like in 2016, when Trump got into the White House, it was leaks everywhere. He had a cabinet that was actively working against each other and against him, right? And then 2020, not a very disciplined campaign. I mean, it was hard because COVID made it so difficult to do anything resembling a campaign. And Trump's doing 2-hour press conferences on coronavirus as well at those press briefings. Like it was uneven, right? And you could see why. But in 2024, this was discipline. There were no leaks. And I think the most important thing, Rich, is that Trump trusted Susie Wiles. He trusted Chris Lacivita. When they said, go to McDonald's, he went to McDonald's, right? Which that's the picture that I have in the cover of the book. And I showed Trump the cover. He's like, that's what I would have used too. Everybody probably told you to use the assassination with the blood on my face. He's like, no. He goes, this is the one that really captured the campaign. He goes to the Al Smith dinner when Kamala Harris blows it off. That was a big moment as well, because that's the Catholic vote right there. And then just overall, like going on the Joe Rogan podcast, going on Theo Vaughn, doing all these different media outlets that aren't traditional media, aren't legacy media. He's reaching people, non-propensity voters, younger voters that helped him win the election, while Kamala is running to Al Sharpton on MSNBC or paying Oprah $1 million to interview or doing interviews with CNN. Those weren't reaching the people that she needed ultimately to win. So the media strategy, the campaign strategy, almost a flawless campaign. And he campaigned in blue cities and states as well. We talked about New Jersey, but Madison Square Garden, that was a big moment as well. So, yeah, a lot of big moments to talk about in this book. No question about it.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm glad you used the McDonald's cover, too. I mean, not only did it happen right here in our listening area in Pennsylvania, but it was such a man of the people kind of moment for him, while mocking her claim that she worked at McDonald's, while at the same time showing just this kind of fun everyday side to him that he's capable of doing. And he does a lot. The other reason why I'm glad you used it is because it was from McDonald's in Pennsylvania, Bucks County, critical must-win area of a must-win state, which he won. And so that kind of brings us to this campaign. And I don't know if you get into this in the book or not, Joe, because I just got it, but I haven't had a chance to finish it yet. Sure. And it's excellent. Congratulations on it. But I mean,
thanks, man.
How much do you think would have changed if Biden, say, had gotten out earlier or remained the candidate? I mean, I know it's hard to think about hypotheticals, but we know Kamala Harris was a disaster as a candidate, probably the worst mm-hmm. candidate ever in the history of politics. Did the Trump campaign have to readjust their strategy when Biden dropped out?
That was the thing that what Lacivita told me is that they didn't adjust their strategy when Kamala got in, and people were panicking almost because you saw these polls where Kamala in the brat summer in August, when remember when she became the nominee, they didn't let her do any interviews for 6 weeks, which means, The View wants you on. Nope, we're not going to allow it. Right. Rachel Maddow wants you on. Nope, we're not going to allow it. So they're riding this teleprompter campaign. But Lacivita, what he said was Trump's number never went below 47%. Like, it always stayed there. And her number, like, in other words, he had a ceiling. She didn't have a ceiling. In other words, like, she can never penetrate 44-45% ultimately, and especially in swing states where she was seen as a San Francisco elitist snob. And, oh, by the way, to your point, a disaster, a human Chernobyl when she was outside of a teleprompter. So that ran during Sunday Night Football, obviously very highly rated, and just one mistake after the other for the Kamala Harris campaign. Probably the biggest mistake was the one decision she made was, who's going to be my vice presidential candidate? And there you have your Josh Shapiro, 60% approval in a purple state, and could have chose him. Nate Silver said that the candidate that wins Pennsylvania has a 98% chance of winning. Yep. That was probably true. And she needs the state. And what does she do? Now I'll go to Minnesota, which has the longest streak for voting for Democrats for president. You got to go all, even Mondale beat Reagan there. The one state that he won was Minnesota, right? So she's like, I'm going to go with that goofy 80s sitcom dad who keeps calling J.D. Vance weird because the media thinks he's funny and cool, and not even vet his record. Like, wait a minute, he wants tampons in elementary school boys' bathrooms? I have a third grader, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't need that. The guy who let Minneapolis burn to the ground, the guy who said he held weapons in war when he never did, the guy who said he was in Hong Kong during the Tiananmen Square massacres when he was a cornfield in Nebraska. But the thing that pissed me off most, Rich, given that you have a lot of Eagles fans watching, is when Tim Walz is playing AOC in Madden Twitch, like basically like the Madden video game we played growing up. And he says, well, you know, that AOC can run a mean pick six. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm a football coach. Okay, I truly am a football coach. And as you know, Rich, you can't run a pick six. It's something that just kind of happens. You jump a route, ball gets tipped, whatever. It's not a play you run, damn it. And then when he said that, I'm like, this guy's such a phony. And that's how he came across. And that's why I think the VP pick was more consequential than it has been in some time, because Vance was that good and Walls was that bad.
Yeah.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I agree, Joe. And it's not that I think the president would have lost to Kamala Harris if she had had a better pick. I think it would have just been a different campaign. I think certainly, I mean, Josh Shapiro is popular in Pennsylvania. People do like him. He's much more outspoken. And I don't know, he just doesn't come across so goofy and awkward and didn't put tampons in the bathroom. So all those things. But right. He was Jewish and he is Jewish. And obviously that's a problem for the Democrat Party with looking at Michigan. So I don't think he was ever a real contender at the time. I guess the other question is, when you think about Butler and like you said, you know, that day and you've written about it, you've talked about it many, many times. I mean, that day was a game changer. I knew then that it was over. It was going to be a landslide after that moment. Yeah. And I think that one of the things he did really, really well was to say that he believed that God saved him for a reason. And I really do think that moment, that mattered. And how he used that to talk about faith was also something very important for this race. Do you agree?
Oh gosh, absolutely. I mean, his reaction in general, just from the moment he was hit, was perfect. And not a lot of time to think about, like, hey, how am I going to choreograph this, like the way MSNBC tried to portray it. Like, his instinct was, I interviewed him for the book, and I asked him, I said, look, you're on the ground, you know you're hit, you have blood on your face, the Secret Service is on top of you. And your instinct was to stand up above the Secret Service and say, fight, fight, fight to the crowd, when you didn't know totally that there wasn't a second shooter out there. Like any other time, like you saw when Reagan got shot, you get him into the car and get him out of there, right? There is no messing around. And Trump said, you know what? I knew it would look weak if they put me on the stretcher that was on the stage. I said, wait a minute, there was a stretcher on the stage? He said, yeah. He goes, oh, I guess no one really heard that before. But yeah, there was a stretcher on the stage, and there was. He said, I didn't want to get on that. I said, no way in hell I'm going on that. And he said, I knew my youngest son was watching. I knew my wife was watching. My family was watching, and the country was watching. And if I didn't let them know that I was okay, and more importantly, that we were going to continue to fight, 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 because this movement is too important. We had a country to save, and I had to let everybody know that that was going to be the case, and to let my family know that I was going to be okay and I would see them again. That's what I was thinking of at the time. And I'm thinking, wow, I would have done something completely different in that situation. Get me in that car and get me the hell out of there. But he was thinking about more than himself. And I think for the rest of the campaign, Rich, I think maybe he did have kind of a come to Jesus moment where maybe he appreciated everything he had as far as campaigning and rallying, you know, which he loved so much. And most importantly, his time in the White House, which he really seems like a happy guy right now. Like he really appreciates where he is. We're in 2016, 2017, when he was in office. That was just one. It was an uneven time. Here, he seems so confident in his arguments and his agenda, and he just keeps moving forward, like he said.
Yeah, and it's just, Joe, and you know, and the last thing, because I know you got to run, you'll be back on Fox News very shortly, but the last thing I'll say is that I think he's happy because he has people around him who he trusts, whereas the first time around, you know, they put in all these RNC people and other people who were not part of his campaign, not part of his inner circle, and he saw a lot of them try to undermine him, whereas this time around, he's got a team that's been with him, many people since day number one, and then other people who came aboard after, but the point is that he wasn't assigned people this time, you know, like, you got to put this person in or that person in. It's his people.
Yeah, he felt like, for instance, like Jeff Sessions. Well, Sessions was with him from the beginning, and he endorsed him, so I guess I'll make him AG. So then when the whole Russia BS comes about, then Sessions is like, oh, well, I got to recuse myself. I'm out of here. You know, it's like, wait, no one else would have, like, let's put it this way. Pam Bondi would not be recusing herself, right? And he just had all these other folks around him, defense apparatus, whether it be his chief of staff. He went through several of those. Anthony Scaramucci, we know what he's saying about Trump now. Yeah. Yeah, the Mooch was the director of communication for all of 11 days, but he's still got in there somehow. So yeah, now he has the team that he wants, right? Especially Susie Wiles as chief of staff. So that's why he feels more confident, because as you've noticed, there's not a lot of leaks happening right now. And he knows what his agenda is and what he needs to do to get it done. I think he also knows that Democrats aren't going to work with him in any way, shape or form. So he's just going to go right through there instead of trying to come to any compromise in any way, shape or form, because they would do the same thing we saw with Biden. So, yeah, whole different ballgame. First 100 days, I'd say, have been a blitzkrieg. Many good things have come out of it. The next 100 days, though, are the most important. Big, beautiful bill and get those tariffs down to 0-0 with a lot of countries. Start getting some deals in. You're going to see the economy take off like rocket fuel, and Democrats will have no answers because all they've done is Festivus, an airing of grievances and a show about nothing, no solutions whatsoever. Again, I'm going back to the 90s, Rich. I'm sorry.
Hey, man, I'm with you. I was there with you. I'm in Jersey with you. I was in Maryland with you, and I'm in the 90s and the 80s with you playing Madden. So it's all good, my man. Congrats on the book, The Greatest Comeback Ever, Inside Trump's Big, Beautiful Campaign. Get it wherever books are sold. Joe Concha, thanks, man. Keep up the great work.
Fear the turtle. Thank you, Rich.
You got it, man. Go Terps.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. A new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.